RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
You've got questions. Melanie's got answers. This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
If you've got a child that suffers with asthma or seasonal fall allergies, things that are going to start to happen as they head back to school, does the stress and anxiety of heading back to school contribute or increase or exacerbate their asthma? And what do you do as a parent to get the child ready to deal with their asthma at school, as well as getting the school involved in the asthma care for your child? My guest today is Dr. Albert Rizzo. He's the American Lung Association's leading medical authority on asthma and allergies. Welcome to the show, Dr. Rizzo. So tell us about back to school. Does that stress of a child thinking that they're going back, does that contribute to as a trigger to an asthma outbreak?
Yes, I think it can in general. And you got to remember that children from elementary school all up to high school, there's over 7 to 8 million children under that age who have asthma. And going back to school carries with it resocialization, getting together with more individuals than they might be used to on a regular basis. So sharing of germs, unfortunately, is a trigger, as well as you mentioning the fact that the fall season, whether it's a late hot summer, early fall allergy season, can be a trigger. And schools often aren't necessarily as well air-controlled as the home, as far as air conditioning being available and things of that nature. Sometimes the carpets in the classrooms may not be as well-maintained as the hardwood floor at home. So child with asthma or young adult with asthma, adolescent, need to be aware of the triggers and what potential triggers there may be going into a new environment, in this case at school, but the same thing would happen in a new workplace. So definitely that can be a trigger. And then the anxiety of getting back to school, the pressures of school can sometimes be an additional stress for both the child with the disease as well as the parent who has to help manage the disease.
What do you want parents to do now? I mean, so if we're still have another month or so, yay, only a month, until our kids go back to school, what do you want them to do now?
Yeah. If they don't already, they should have an idea of what an action plan would be for their asthmatic child when problems develop. And this usually is developed along with the primary caregiver, whether it's a pediatrician or an allergy specialist or an asthma specialist. So a visit this time of year to make sure everybody's on the same page with regard to the medications that are being used and what's supposed to happen when the child starts to have symptoms in the school. Sometimes it's best that a school nurse has a copy of that action plan shared by the physician and the parent with that nurse. And as much as the child can know about self-management, the better. So a visit with the doctor, knowing what the asthma action plan is going into the school year, would be the best thing to get done at this point in time.
What do you say about kids carrying their own rescue inhalers? Do you want the teachers to have it? Who do you want to be in charge to manage? And how do you teach your child to manage this? At what age? I know it's dependent on what you know about your own child. But, how do you start teaching them this?
Well, usually to use an inhaler appropriately on their own, children probably at the age of 3 or 4 start to be able to do that. So self-management certainly can be started at that age. And again, having an idea as to when to use it, what are the symptoms, are they wheezing, are they having chest tightness, they just feel weak, tired. So there's important triggers to understand and symptoms to understand as to when that rescue inhaler can be used. Now, unfortunately, school districts are not uniform as to what they allow a child to carry with them or how to have available at the school. School nurses certainly have rescue medications and nebulizers available for children, but the more the nurse knows about what to do for the child and the permission slips from the parent and the physician, the better able they are to intervene before it becomes an emergent situation. So self-management is key. Having an action plan that the child and the school nurse have available are important things to have.
When children are at school, back in the day, Dr. Rizzo, kids with asthma had to sit out of gym and recess and those things, and they'd sat on the stairs and looked all sad and everything. But that's different nowadays, isn't it,
absolutely,
with asthma and these allergies and things? You want them to be active.
Absolutely. We feel that the goal of treating asthma is to have a normal life, to be able to have enough. We have good medications. We have good techniques to use those medications and understand that the disease, that individuals, including children, should be able to have close to a normal life as possible. And again, knowing that if exercise is one of the things that precipitate an asthma problem, using medications preventatively ahead of gym class is certainly something that we would recommend. So we don't want them to sit out. We want them to stay active, enjoy as much as they can their talents and abilities to exercise and perform in sports And the more they know about the disease and how to use the medications will help them do that.
I think that's true, and I think we can teach our children that that activity, and even though some schools are cutting gym and recess, you know, in favor of academics, which is certainly important, but those kids, especially those asthma kids, now, we're not talking about exercise-induced asthma, right? This is
right. Asthma in general benefits from exercise, and most children with asthma and even adults with asthma, if you exercise to some extreme, you're going to get some symptoms. So you can have exercise-induced asthma that stands alone, but almost every individual with asthma will have some exercise-induced symptoms if they're in the right environment and the right intensity. So having that rescue inhaler available becomes important.
How do you trust your school to be able to care if it's hot outside and the kids are going out for recess as they do in September, you know,
right,
or late August,
right,
and you're worried about your child and you don't want to be a helicopter parent and go stand at the fence and watch your child at recess, make sure they don't have an issue? Do you trust the school? Do you show up on occasion? What do you do?
Well, I think it depends on the dialogue you've had with the school. And by the school, I mean certainly the administrators, and more importantly, the school nurse is going to be there, or the school nurses that rotate through there. The more they understand about what the triggers your child has and how well they're able to handle air quality, whether it's indoor or outdoor, the better able they're going to help. So I think it boils down to how well you've had the dialogue and communication with the caregivers and the people responsible at the school, and then you don't have to be the helicopter parent and be there.
You mentioned that some schools don't have air conditioning. If you're
correct,
a parent with a child with asthma, that's a scary prospect.
It is, and not everybody has the luxury to look around to the right school to be able to say, I'm going to send my child there, especially if you look at the inner cities and some of the disparities that occur with healthcare in general. That is a scary situation, and it again becomes important for the parent to communicate with the school and the officials there as to what precautions might need to be taken. If there's certain rooms that have window air conditioners, let alone central air, that may be where one of these students needs to spend more of their time if possible.
How do parents start that conversation with the school? What do they actually say, and with their child, about going back to school? Give us, in the last minute and a half, your best advice about back to school, the triggers that go on in the fall, the anxiety that goes with children, and asthma.
Well, the discussion should begin with them coming in saying they recently had a visit with their pediatrician or their asthma specialist, and here's the action plan that we put together between my physician, my child, and myself to know how to handle asthma problems. We trust that our child knows how to use their inhaler. We would request that they have the inhaler available to them and just ask what permission slips might need to be signed and what's the policy of that school district or that particular school. I think the more you go in with the backing of your healthcare provider and the understanding that this is a chronic illness but can be well-controlled, can be significant, and can be life-threatening if not well-controlled, that's the important message to send. You're aware that this is a chronic illness, it can be managed, and you're asking for their help to be able to do it the best way they can, in the safest way for their child.
You also have an asthma-friendly champion award at lung.org, where there's an asthma-friendly schools initiative, AFSI. You can see more about that at lung.org. That's lung.org, creating that asthma-friendly environment in the schools. Look that up, parents. If you're if you're parents of kids with asthma, go on to that website, because it can give you these guidelines, as Dr. Rizzo has here today, to dealing with your school, trusting your child, trusting the school, getting everybody on board with that action plan so that you're not that helicopter parent that I know I would be if my child had asthma, and so that you can really give your child the best start to a new school year that you possibly can. This is Melanie Cole, and you're listening to my very own health radio show right here on Radio MD. We're so glad to have the American Lung Association with us, and thanks for listening. Stay well.